But in your bulletin this morning, the verse I shared this morning is in 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. And a lot of times in our lives today, we get kind of frustrated over things that's going on, and we're not sure why things are happening the way they are. Of course, everything that's going on today has already been prophesied in the Bible. I mean, we're watching the Bible. It's like God wrote the play, and I'm watching me play it out on the stage. So, as a born-again Christian, we shouldn't let the things of the world to deter us from doing what the Master called us, and that is loving one another and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the one thing He guarantees us, and in 1 John 2:9, it says, "And this is the promise which He Himself has made to us, eternal life." Amen? You have, as a born-again Christian, eternal life. And that's 10,000 years, 10,000 years on top, on top, on top. So we need to keep our eyes focused on the coming of the Lord to encourage us one more day. Amen?
Amen.
The eternal life. Of all the things that people have given you in this lifetime, some things you love them, some things you wonder why you got them. Sometimes they give you headaches. But one thing that God has promised us and given us is eternal life. And if you receive that blood of Jesus Christ, if you've been born again, baptized, got the Holy Spirit in you, you have eternal life. Better days are coming. Doesn't make any difference whether we get a Democrat in office, a Republican, independent, unknown. You know what I'm saying? I mean, for the scheme of things of eternal life, nothing's going to change that. They can vote new laws down to change our laws we have today, but no one can vote a law that will take away the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. That's awesome. And the bulletin I wrote, it says, what a promise this is. Doesn't matter what happens in this world. Doesn't matter what it takes place in our lives. We have a promise of eternal life with Him forever. Looking forward to the coming of the Lord to take us home is such a peaceful thought. Just to see His face and to see His arms wide open to receive us is so comforting. Jesus sees our trials and our tribulation we go through, and the Word of God tells us He is our intercessor. His angels have been dispatched around us to comfort, minister, and protect us, and His Word is given to us to strengthen us. Be encouraged, Jesus is coming soon for His bride. And who is His bride?
The church.
The church. Amen. So we got to make sure that we're ready. Make sure we don't fall asleep. Make sure we think, well, I got a couple more days, or this is a day that I can walk away from the Lord, I'll come back tomorrow. A bride is always getting prepared for her groom. And He says He's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And we know how primpy women are when they're getting married. You know, they got 14 mirrors around because they want to make sure everything is perfect, right? But we should be the same way. Keep looking at ourselves. Man, is there something in my life, Lord, is offensive to You? Am I in sin? Have I sinned? Now I don't want no spot, no wrinkles on me. I can't quite see me. So you can't see, I can't see the behind me, but You can. Is there any wrinkles back there? Any spots? You know, that's what we want to do, is have one another check us. Kathy, I think I'm doing pretty good in my life. Do you see something in my life that might be displeasing to the Lord? I should be able to ask my sister that. And out of love, she should be able to tell me. You know, we've all laughed at people coming out of the toilet, dragging toilet paper behind them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we do. But it takes a special person to say, wait a second, come here, you're dragging some toilet paper. Okay, that's someone who's really concerned about somebody. It's easy to sit back and laugh about people, but man, when you want someone to tell you that you're dragging toilet paper, okay? Remind me of Smoking the Bandit when the sheriff walks out of the toilet. Remember, he dragged that toilet paper? Oh, my. But we want each other to know that, and so we need to look at one another. And when someone comes to you and says, hey, buddy, you're dragging some toilet paper, take it out of love. Don't take it offensive. Say, oh, thank you for telling me. I don't want to do that. Same with ourselves. You see sin in one another's life. Just share. I don't mean stand on the rooftop and say, hey, I got what? I got a rooster tail back here? Front? Oh, okay.
You're okay.
Oh, rooster tail, that's a cow lick, isn't it? Okay. I get my hair cut at Kathy's Hen House. So come? No, I don't. But thank you. Seriously. But we want to encourage one another and help one another. You know, some of us are brand new Christians. We don't know everything yet about the Bible. And so we might be in some areas in our life that we're not doing correctly. And so a seasoned Christian just needs to lovingly, one-on-one, say, hey, let me show you the Word of God. You know, he's coming back. I know you're not aware of this yet, but it says this here. And do it out of love. It's not judging one another. Because judging what Christ is talking about is don't condemn one another. Only him will be the final judge, right? But we, you know, you judge me right now. Kathy judged my hair. But she did it out of love, right? You didn't condemn me. Okay, that's what we want to do for one another, is watch one another, encourage one another. If we see things in our lives that's displeasing, you went out to the Word of God, let one another know that. But He has promised you and me eternal life. Whatever you're looking at for tomorrow, it will not take away the eternal life that Jesus Christ had bought us with His blood. Remember that. It's so easy nowadays to get depressed. You look at tomorrow, and you don't even want to enter tomorrow. You don't want to go there. Then go there, because the Master is watching over you. His angels have been dispatched around you. And as a born-again Christian, He will provide for us. We just need to trust Him. You ever been in a tight spot? Not sure what's going on, and boom, next thing you know, the Lord there to help you out. It could be physical spots, it could be a medical issue, it could be financial, whatever it is. God has a way of helping His children. We just need to encourage Him. Encourage one another with that. But I'd like to share with you today from 1 John chapter 3. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'm going to read it anyway. You can listen to me. But 1 John chapter 3, and our text today is from verse 1 and 24, the area I'll be speaking of. But as you're turning there, I'm going to share with you Romans 8:14. And Romans 8:14 tells us, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Or those who are led by the Spirit, those who are born again, are children of God. Amen?
Amen.
You think of that. Being born again. Not just because you were born. Everybody here, if you're here today, you've been birthed sometime. Okay? You were born. But to become a child of God is to be born again. Amen?
Amen.
John 1:12, I know I share this a lot with you. Anybody mistaken? A lot of times people say we're all children of God, but we're not. We're all God's creation. Okay, we don't become a child of God until we accept Christ. We are born again because we are born into sin. Adam and Eve reproduced after their kind, and their kind was in sin. When Adam sinned, the Spirit of God that he breathed into him died. The Spirit was gone. And for us to become a child of God now, we must be born again to receive that Spirit back into us. Isn't that awesome? He said, repent from your sins, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you're born again, you accept Christ as your Savior and Lord, the Spirit that died in the garden comes back into man. That is being born again. In the day that you would leave this world, that Spirit goes back to God. And take your soul with you. Isn't that awesome? That's why it's so important to say that we must be born again. When we talk to people, I'll say, a lot of people say, hey, Bonnie, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Oh, are you born again? They don't know what you're talking about. Because saved, to be saved, we all say, we hear in the Bible, it says, all those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And the Bible is correct. Saved is connected to being born again. Jesus tells that in John 3:3. We must be born again, born of the Spirit. And so, always, again, yourselves, checking yourself this morning, where are you at with the Lord? Are you born again? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Are you following Jesus? If you're born again, you're following Jesus Christ. And you know, you heard me say before, I don't like the terminology Christian, because people call themselves Christian for when they just come in the church and sit down. And a Christian, we were called Christian clear back in Antioch, and they were making fun of the followers of Jesus. They were making fun of the disciples. They're Christ-like. They're just like Christ. They weren't saying it in a good way. They were saying that, making fun of them. Okay? But when I say, Cindy, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you?
Yes, I am.
Amen. Then I know. I know. Because to be a follower of Jesus Christ is to be born again, baptized, Spirit of God living in you and following Him. His Word says to do this, you do this. Now, if I said, I want you to follow me today, and I start walking out this door, and Ren goes back that way, is he following me? Yeah. He can declare, I'm followers of Starkey. Well, Ren, we're not, Starkey's gone out this way, you're going out that way. So you see right away that he might think he's a follower of Starkey, but he's not following me. Same way of Jesus. You might say that you're a Christian, but if you're not following his teachings, if you're not following the Word, if you're not allowing him to live in you, then you're only fooling yourself or someone has fooled you. You know, I think some places you get a pad when you come to church. And if you get 3,000 marks of showing up, you're going to heaven. And it doesn't work that way. Amen? God wants you to understand that, okay? But if you're born again, you're a child of God. And every promise that He gave to Abraham is available to us. And we see here, I love my podium. Buck, thank you very much. I love it. I'll move around on this thing. I'm waiting for the next version. We got a seat on an electric motor. But, no. But in chapter 3, verse 1 of 1 John, it says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him." But look at that. He says, "Bestowed upon us, that He calls us children of God." Now let that sink in for a second. Of all the things that you've been called in your lifetime, and something, maybe husband, maybe wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, son, daughter, cousin, all that, all awesome things, there's not a greater call to be called to be a child of God. You know, we look at our father at times, and that's where we get our earthly father. That's how we get our, or maybe how we're going to work our skills for our life, or we follow them. But we can go higher than that, that your Father is God. You're a child of God. Can you get a greater DNA than that? Can you get more prestige? When somebody says, "Well, who are you?" "Well, I'm a child of God." You might get some weird looks when you say that, but you can't get any more awesome than that. A child of God. Wow. I mean, let that encourage you. As a Christian, now if you're sitting here today, you're not a Christian, yet you're not a follower of Jesus, don't get upset. You can come to God through Christ. He wants you to. Christ died on a cross in order to redeem us from our sins, in order to have a relationship for us. You know, and you might say, "Well, I got enough God in my life now." Well, if you don't have Christ in your life, you have no God in your life. And He wants to be part of your life. He wants you to be His child. You know, in verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is." Now we're going to be just like the Master. We're going to have that glorified body that He has. When He appears, He's coming for His church very soon. Your bodies will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. All you folks right now who are on diets, forget it, man. We're not going to need that in a twinkling of an eye. We're going to be changed and be just like Him. And the Bible said that those who have passed on, those who have died in Christ, those who are in the grave right now, the Christian born-again believers, man, the grave is going to open up, the body is coming out. They're going to be changed. And us, we're going to meet Him in the sky, the Bible says. That quick, the rapture, the taking away of the church is coming. To some, that might be a new hearing. What are you talking about? It's the same way with Noah. Noah told everybody 120 years, "Hey, get ready, the flood's coming. It's going to rain." Started building an ark, get prepared. And they thought he was crazy, they thought he was nuts. It never rained before. Never rained. God watered the world come up from the bottom of the ground, too. But he didn't give up. He kept sharing that. No one come to him. They all thought he was crazy until the first raindrop came down. Amen? But the Word of God is true, and it's not my Word, it's God's Word. And He loves you so much, to get prepared, I'm coming. I'm coming for the church, and then the tribulation period is going to start upon this world. You have not seen anything yet. They might refer to today's, the good old days. Can you imagine thinking 2016 is going to be the good old days? Now, if I want to think about the good old days, I go back in the late 50s, early 60s. Good old days, I still home mom and dad, okay? But 2016 is nothing compared to what will take place when the church is out of here, when the Holy Spirit is out. And you don't want to be here to see what it's going to be like. But it's our decision. Do we want to become followers of Jesus Christ? Do we want to forgive, receive the forgiveness of our sins? Or do we want to stay in the world that's decaying, that is dying? Or do we want to be out of here? Do we want to be able to sing 10,000 years from now, still singing in heaven? With a piano player then. Amen?
Amen.
And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. So He's talking about, we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just like He is. And everyone who has this hope, what hope? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that blessed hope. And as your eyes are fixed upon Him, it says that it will purify us. How does it purify us? Because we turn away from the sin. We allow Him to be number one in our life. You know, this isn't just a, this isn't a club that we join. And we come and pay our dues if we want to. Now, the dues are in pay at the cross. When we become a follower of Christ, there is no turning back. There's no days off. There's no half hour off. It's right now, this is what we do. And what happens? The Word of God, as you listen to it, it starts purifying you. How does your mind? You start thinking differently. Then thoughts that you used to have, man, they'll be disappearing because the Word of God is coming in here. And you'll be thinking about what Christ said. What did Christ do? What would He want me to do? That Holy Spirit will help lead you and guide you in the ways of the Lord. It cleanses you. It's just like that bride getting ready for the wedding. I don't know how long did it take the lady's hair, Kathy, sometime for weddings. Quite some time, probably, don't it? Yeah. Now you're a pro at it now, okay? But all the other things is perfect. Yeah. Weddings are started planning months and months of ahead of time. I've had people call me for weddings 14, 15 months in advance. That's how much planning they have to get everything just the way they want it done. And boom, 20 minutes. The weddings. The ceremonies are with, but the wedding just started. You know what I'm saying? Same with us today. Our life, every day of our life, is planning for the wedding, planning for the coming of the Lord, coming for Him coming to get His bride, get the church out of here. And we need to be the same way as the bride, that we need to be looking, watching, seeing, make sure everything is going to be perfect for the Lord. And the only way we can be perfect is through Him. Through Him, through His Word, through His blood, through His forgiveness, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4 says, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So right now we're talking about you have your eyes on the Lord, but it says, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He appeared in order to take away sin, and in Him there is no sin. So we know that Christ came to take away your sin. Amen? And that's the number one thing. Now, we get a lot of blessings through the Lord. We have every promise that God gave Abraham because of Jesus Christ. But the number one thing that He came to earth for, to redeem you from your sins, to give you that eternal life. Healing is part of what came at the cross. Provisions, needs, prosperity, it's all there. But the number one thing is your sin. What good would it be, Bob, to have $1 million in your bank account and walking around in sin and you die? It means nothing. The number one thing is to have our sins forgiven. And remember, that's the number one thing that He came for, eternal life. And my heart kind of broke this week. A gentleman really upset with God. He surrendered life to the Lord a few years ago, but he's going through some issues right now. And he believes that, well, God's, you know, he don't believe in God anymore. Because God did not do this thing in his life. And I'm thinking, okay, number one, I don't know what's all in your life, but we can't be doing things of the world and blame God for the results of that. We don't understand the number one thing that God did through His Son Christ was redeem us from our sins, that He may, at His time, take us home into a place called heaven for a new heaven and a new earth and start this thing all over again. That's the number one thing that He wants to do. Rescue us out of this dying world. Everything else is a bonus. You know, whether you came this morning in a Cadillac, you came here in a Volkswagen, immature, you got here, right? Neither one of them is going to be in heaven. But the number one thing is eternal life. And you got His eyes off of that. Because sometimes I'll serve the Lord if He'll do this for me, do that for me. What else did He have to do? He took away your sins. Paid the penalty. I mean, yeah, I guess maybe sometimes I get the same attitude I have my wife once in a while. You know, we've been married 40 years. She'll look at me and say, "Hey, do you love me?" I said, "Well, I married you, didn't I?" That's 40 years ago. Well, gentlemen, I recommend do not answer that way, okay? But sometimes we get that way of God, you know. And it has to be an everyday relationship and remind ourselves. Maybe even John 3:2-9 might be a good verse to hang on to. That this is the promise which He Himself made to us, eternal life. Keep our eyes focused on that. It's kind of like keeping your eyes focused on retirement when you got to work. Or you get ready to go on vacation, it's 3 months away. Keep your eyes on the vacation. It allows you to go through the struggles and the turmoils till you get there. Same way with God. You know, He's coming for us. Keep your eyes on the reward that we have. And no one abides in Him sins. No one who sins has seen Him. I'm going to read verse 5 again. And you know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has seen Him or knows Him. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has seen Him or knows Him. Verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that He might destroy the works of the devil. And right there, for us nowadays, it's so important for you to understand this. When He says that those who are righteous practice righteousness. And righteousness means right standing with God. They practice it. They practice coming to the Lord. They practice even repenting from their sin when you might sin. But He said to tell you up front, the one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. Okay? So those who practice sin is of the devil. And there is a doctrine of demons out there that the Bible speaks of, that people are falling into. And folks, it's very simple. If someone is practicing sin, they are not of Christ. Hear me, church. Very important. Because there's churches out there now that they condone sin to take place in their life. They say, you're okay, stay in your sin. And the Bible, it's not me talking, it's the Word of God. They got the same Bible you got in your hand right now. Those who practice sin is not of God. They're of the devil. So if you get around a doctrine that says that's okay, you can stay in your sin, God loves you anyway, that is a lie from hell. God loves them, loves you, but if you choose to stay in your sin, you're practicing sin. And you will not see the kingdom of God. If you go to a church, if you're visiting a church and they start talking about, well, I know we shouldn't do this, but you're okay, go ahead and do it anyway. When they tell you the Word of God has changed, and it says okay to abort your babies, when it says okay for same-sex marriages, no, that's wrong. That is wrong, that is sin. Please don't be deceived. It is sin, but it's just a sin. Same as lying, hello, stealing, gossiping, okay? Put them all together there. You know, for some reason, those are the two big ones right now because God calls one murder, He calls the other one abomination, okay? But if you lied this week, He says, no liar shall see the kingdom of God. You better repent. If you stole this week, you better repent. Well, I didn't steal anything. Oh, did you lie on an application somewhere? Did you feel you made a little less money in order to get proceeds from the government? You just lied. You just stole also. So, we need the whole Word of God. God hasn't changed. That's an awesome thing. God never changes. We do. We might change our opinions many times. But God never does. But those who practice sin, those who are in it, there's a difference between practicing sin and fighting sin. Remember that, please. Trying to get loose from sin is one thing, but when you embrace it, say, I don't care about the cross of Christ, I'm going to stay in this sin. Man, you're on thin ice. If you stay that way, you will not see the kingdom of God. When He died on the cross, Christ sent the Comfort, the Holy Spirit, that will come and give you strength to overcome any temptation that comes your way. But He said, draw closer to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But it's out of love that this Bible is written. It's out of love. It's not hatred. When I tell you, if you continue to lie, you're going to hell. I tell you that out of truth. Out of love. Because God don't want to see you in hell. Amen?
Amen.
When I say, if you're going to steal, quit stealing. Because no thief will enter the kingdom of God. Repent from it. Amen? Right?
Amen.
If you're fornicating, if you're shacked up, as husband and wife, the Bible says, you shall not see the kingdom of God. You're practicing sin. Not enough excuses to justify it. I mean, well, I get more money this way. That's the devil. God loves you so much, you turn away from it. Come to me. And he tells me in 4:19, as I give my life to the Lord, he'll supply all my needs.
Amen.
And the glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you. So and we had a fellow come in. He got born again this week. And just that quick, he had nothing. But at least now he has a tent he's living in. He has food given to him. He had two job interviews. Amen. Supply his needs. Amen. And it goes from there. But we have to be real. We can't, out of love, we have to stand on the Word of God and share that out of love. Not condemning. Anybody here never sinned?
No.
Good. We're on the right track then. Amen. You know, and we're here today because, and today, you know, I lived long enough to repent for my sins. Thank you, Lord. January 2nd, 2000, I come to the cross. Thanks to some praying people. Before that, man, I was split hell wide open. I finally understood the truth. Heard it? I heard it before a couple of different ways, Opal. I had people get my face. That wasn't a good thing to do. But seriously, but out of love, one-on-one, it makes a difference, you know? If Steve comes to me, hey, I need to talk to you, Starkey. And he starts telling me, hey, you know, I know you think everybody else does this, but the Word of God says that's sin. One-on-one, I can receive that. But in front of everybody, say, hey, Starkey! Well, I'm going to be defended right away. Okay? But we do it out of love. God's Word is all about love. And as a child of God, man, He wants us to be encouraged, stay away from sin, and share that with other people. Share that He loves them. He said, no one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Again, by this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. How are they obvious? One's practicing sin, and one isn't. Okay? Now, sometimes people come to a church, here or anywhere, and they come, sit, and leave, and be talking to somebody in the church, and they'll say, I've been coming here for a couple of years now, but you know, I smoke dope, and I still get drunk and stuff, but man, I just love coming here. The people are nice, and the food's fantastic. Okay, and folks, I mean, seriously, okay, and so that person leaves saying, wow, I'm going to join that church. Couldn't you still smoke dope, get drunk, and eat dinner? Okay. But what you don't understand is that person hasn't come to the Lord yet. Hear me? Yeah. Praise God, they're in church. Amen? I mean, if I hadn't come to church, I never heard the truth. Okay. But if someone who, you get two people sitting beside each other, they're not born again, and they're talking to one another, wow, I can do all that stuff and still get to heaven. So again, the Bible says, those who are does things righteous are righteous. Those who are sinners are the devil. So we have to make sure, number one, that when people come to visit the church or come and visit you, make sure you share what the love of God is. And don't be afraid to confess your sins that you've been redeemed from if God tells you to. But too many times, people will judge a church by people they talk to that who's not even born again yet. We had a fellow come in here one time, and he was upset about a church he visited because they told him to get out because he said they don't think tattoos should be in church. And they don't think you can worship God with tattoos. He says, well, I never went back. I said, well, the pastor told you that you couldn't come because you had tattoos on you? No. I said, one of the deacons? No. One of the choir? I mean, who told you? Well, I don't know. Some guy sitting there. I said, how do you know it wasn't his first day of the visit? How do you know that? I mean, but that quickly, you know, it just... that they took the opinion of the person at the church and they fell away from the church. And God said for everyone to come to Him. Okay? I tell him, I said, you know, people have tattoos on bodies. A lot of people got tattoos on their hearts. Christ said, you all come. Amen?
Amen.
All come. Mm. For this is the message for which we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And for that reason did he slay him, because his deeds were evil and his brother were righteous. So Cain got upset with his brother Abel because he was doing a thing that was righteous. And so he got so jealous that he killed his brother. And we have to watch ourselves as we see what took place there. Make sure we don't do the same thing in the church. Yeah, I shared the other day, you know, if someone come in the day for a praise report and they say, man, I just got a 2016 Cadillac gave to me. How many of you say, well, I hope we have a flat tire. You better say good, but a lot of people say, well, I hope they have a flat tire. Why I've been coming to church long, they have. What, you know, why did I get one? You know what I'm saying? And Satan will get in there and start twisting things around on you. So we should always glory and be happy for those that God blesses. So yeah, great job. Just maybe God is watching you. You know? Let's say you've had a habit before of pride or resentment, and God has been working on you. And let's say you've been praying, God, I need an automobile. I just need an automobile. Let's say God's got this Lincoln Continental or Volkswagen, whatever, set aside for you. But he said, I'm going to see how much Starkey's matured. So he laid the vehicle on my sister Vicky here. If I come in and say, oh, I've been wanting one of these. God said, okay, Starkey, you're not quite ready yet. But when we rejoice and someone else is being blessed, I give God a reason to bless us. Yeah, you know, 2 Chronicles tells us his eye goes to and fro of his children, seeing who heart is really his. So we need to, what he says is to make sure we love one another. And it's funny that Jesus had to make it a commandment almost. He said, this is a message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Talking to the church, to love one another. And so we got to keep old Satan out of our thoughts, right? We got to keep jealousy and pride. We don't need that at all. We need to love one another. And it says in verse 13, Do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. And he says, okay, the world's going to come against you. Don't find that strange, okay? Because you've passed from death into life. Or you love the brethren. And you know, and there are some people that won't hang around you as a Christian, because your pastor is a retired deputy. You know that? Them cops. I'm not new with them. He's probably watching anyway. You know, they're turning away from you. Just as people will turn away from other people because of someone's background. Hear me, church? Listen up here. Okay? When you're a born-again Christian, you're born again, your sins have been forgiven, washed by the blood of Christ, you're a new creation. Okay? And that's where we go forward as a Christian. The world does not understand that. The world wants to punish people for eternity for a sin. And they don't understand the forgiveness that God gives us. They don't understand when we reach out, as I've been forgiven and you've been forgiven, we come together to encourage one another. So the world will turn on you just for hanging out with born-again people. You know that? They'll just turn on you because, oh, I know what that person did. Oh, he used to be a cop. Or this, you know? So don't think it's strange. Look how they turn on the master. They turn against him. He says, everyone, in verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. He says, everyone who hates his brother, he's talking to the church. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to your brothers and sisters in Christ. If we hate one another, that's the same as the murderer. And there's no life in it. God cannot be living in us. God is love, amen? God cannot be living in us if we hate. Because God does not hate. If we're born again, He's inside of us. He'll cause us to love. He'll cause us to find a way to forgive one another. Amen? You might have someone very hard to forgive, but God, as you go to the Lord, He will help you, give you strength to overcome maybe hatred you have in your heart for someone. He'll help you do that. Because God is love. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Again, talk to the church. We should lift up one another. Lay our life down for one another. Not just talking about physically laying it down, but put our things beside it. If our brother has a need, we need to meet that need if we can. In 17, it says, "But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him?" So he's saying, talking to the church, talking to born-again Christian, if we have the opportunity to help a brother or sister in Christ, I'm talking about a born-again believer, and we don't. So the love of God does not abide in him. And this is an important part here. I shared the other night was when the church first got started in Acts, they went out and sold property as they needed to and sold the stuff to help one another in the faith. Okay? To help one another. You know, if you need something, sister, okay, and I had it here. Go ahead. I don't need it. I got two of them. Bottom of a yard sale, whatever, okay? If I had 30 acres I've been plowing all my life, or mowing, don't really need it, boom. And you need the finances? Okay, let me help you out. But they did it to brothers and sisters in Christ. They did not take their goods and throw it outside. They didn't go and sell their property, bring the money in, open the door out, and give it to the world. And that's where a lot of confusion anymore in this world is. See, day after day after day, here in our ministry and around everywhere, people come in all the time looking for help. Amen. I mean, Christian, we're helpful. You know, our ministry, we feed people and share the gospel. But they come in, and they want this and this and this. You know, they have a need for rent or electric bills or all kind of bills to pay. Okay? I say, okay, you know, let's call your church. Let's talk to your pastor. Well, they don't go to church. Okay. You know, there's nothing I can't help you. You know? Well, I thought you guys are Christians. We are Christians. We are. Now, my Father promised me in heaven He'll provide all my needs of riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Luke chapter 6, He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and supply all my needs, and He has never failed me yet." Please, if you want to come and hear the gospel and let God in your life, He'll do the same thing. But we don't have the finances to pay everybody's electric, but we don't. And what happens? They get mad. One lady stormed out of here, brought her child in. She's done it a couple times in the past to bring children and make you feel guilty, I think it is. And it stormed out of her saying, "Well, don't listen, these people here aren't Christians." But then we have, they're just complaining. And we did out of love, but whoa, how did that ever take place? Where did we ever cross the line? Why do people want the gifts of my Jesus, but not my Jesus? That's like saying, Vicky's having a party tonight, and she invites me, but not my bride. I want you to come, but you keep your wife back. I'm sorry. If my bride's not invited, I'm not going either. Two become one. It's the same way to the world. They need Jesus Christ more than they ever need that electric bill paid. Hear what I'm saying? And I'm not saying if you want to help somebody, I'm not saying you can't. I'm speaking by the church standard. We are here to share the gospel and point them to God. But the world, they don't want God. They don't want Jesus. They just want their need met today. And the saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But you teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. And that's what we need to do here. I try to share that with people. Sometimes people will actually sit down and listen, but most of the time they just storm out and think we're worthless and we're terrible, because we'll feed him pass out free clothing we have, but won't take care of everything they have. And so, anyway, he's talking about us helping one another. You know, many of you guys in the church here, you help people all the time here in the church. And a lot of you guys do it with no acknowledgement. You say, preacher, do this, do that. And you share it with brothers and sisters. And God sees that. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We shall know by this that we are of the truth and shall assure our heart before Him. And whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if your heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. So, as we follow the Lord, we place His word first in our life. Man, we know that we ask of God, we'll receive. Why? Because we'll be acting with the motives that God would want us to act with. We won't ask for selfish things. He'll lay upon your heart what you need. And what do? We pray. And when we pray, we believe we'll receive them, right? Do we? You have confidence in your prayer life? I hope so. And this is the commandment that we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. And love one another just as He commanded us. And the one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And we know by this that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. And I'll close with that. The Spirit that He has given us, that Holy Spirit, that gives you the strength to overcome any temptation that comes your way. It gives you understanding of your Scriptures. It helps you in every way you can think of. Every way you can think of, it will help you. But as a child of God, born again. Again, He says that He promises eternal life. Eternal life. He didn't promise us a smooth road. He didn't promise us a ticket. How do you say that? Ticket tack parade. Ticket. Help me out.
Ticker tape.
Ticker tape parade. Thank you. No, not here. Our rewards will be in heaven. And until then, we need to love one another, encourage one another, and share the gospel with those around us. If you see our brother or sister down and out, go to them, speak life into them, pray with them. If you find yourself down and out, don't be afraid to pick up a phone and go to a brother or sister in the Lord and say, I need prayer. You know, I have no problem right now if Daryl starts beating me up, start yelling, hey, I need some help over here. Well, that'd be the same way in our spiritual walk. When we start getting down, man, call upon one another, call upon the name of the Lord, and be strengthened. All we want is one more day, right? That's all it might be, is one more day, and He'll be coming back for His church. Amen?
Amen.
God is good.